All right, we're rolling. But first thing I want to say is I might run for politics in the future someday.
So we got to be careful what we say.
No, I'm just saying I want to put this out in the open right now so it doesn't come back, you know, to bite us. That there are no burgers, there are no fries today. It's just tacos and burritos.
Which is what? Is that better?
I'm just saying.
No, I have fries.
We're not lying about, you know, the premise of the show.
Oh, okay.
Oh, he's got the nacho fries.
No, you're fine. You can just flip-flop on it later.
Yeah, but it is a $5 box.
It is a $5 box. All right.
Just wanted to put that out there first.
I thought you wanted to be careful about what we spoke about so you wouldn't offend, you know, 47% of your constituents.
That's true.
Your potential constituents.
What you need to, what you call need to the clarify, whole thing if you do have fries, they need to be free-range fries.
That's true. And your burgers.
Sustainable, organic.
And your burgers need to be veggie burgers, right?
Yes. I mean, and I don't think this probably isn't even real meat from Taco Bell. So it's probably some soy. It's Soylent Green.
Soylent Green.
Mm. It's not. It's a different kind of animal meat. All right, so all right. Dan, you have the topic, right?
I have a topic. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
Atheism.
That's it?
Is it a religion or not?
Ooh. Is atheism... Well, I guess that you'd have to define what religion is. Is that just like a...
That's a good point.
A system of beliefs or like... Is there something...
What is religion? Okay. I'm trying to think of a way to better label it, right? Because what is religion? What is religion?
It's, well, I guess faith, like a religion is actually like an organized...
I'm not talking about an organization. I'm talking about religion.
Isn't religion taking faith and belief and making it organized and like saying...
I don't think religion has anything to do with an organization. Or a group.
I think some people see it as...
Because somebody can be religious and not belong to any group, right?
Well, some people might just call that being spiritual or something like that versus being religious, right?
I can understand that distinction, yeah. But okay, for this discussion, we'll say that religion does not have to do with an organization.
Okay, it just means like... You have a faith or belief.
You have a system of beliefs.
A system of beliefs.
Okay, that makes sense.
Yeah. And what constitutes a system of beliefs? Because, I mean, we have systems of beliefs about everything, right? But when we were talking about religion, we're talking about beliefs in God and arguably afterlife. Because those don't necessarily have to be together.
Mm-hmm.
Right, because there are religions out there that believe in some type of an afterlife, but not necessarily God. Some Buddhist variants believe in afterlife, specifically reincarnation type stuff.
So, but some people might consider like atheism being like non-belief, right? But I don't think there's really such thing as like a non-belief. Like you believe just something different, right? Like do you believe God doesn't exist? That's a belief, right? It's not like a non-belief.
Well, yeah, because when it comes right down to it, right, atheism or theism, religion comes down to a belief rather for or against God, right?
So, well, it's a belief. So religion, you could say, is a belief in it's a system of beliefs in something that you have no objective proof of.
Hmm.
So there is no objective proof that there is a God, and there's no objective proof that there isn't a God. So if you're an atheist who says there is no God,
they have a belief.
You have no objective proof of that.
Yeah.
Then it's not like there has to be some...
That's a good distinction, because Satanism is arguably a religion, right?
No, they might say it's not, but it's like, how is it different? It's like a set of beliefs.
It's a set of beliefs regarding... I mean, they believe in Satan.
Well, for those who... Do it seriously. Well,
yeah, that's true. Good point.
some people do it just to have a fake religion.
Or it's kind of like to be like a rebel against the norm or something.
Yeah. A contrarian.
But it's not like you have to. It's not like all atheists have to believe the same thing the same way. Like you can be religious and you can have very different ideas of what God is, you know? So it's not like...
Yeah.
Oh.
There you go.
But I actually proposed this to to Clark years ago, and I said atheism is just another religion. And he's like, "What? No, it's not." I'm like, "It's a belief concerning God. You believe that God does not exist, not him specifically, but atheists believe that God does not exist. That is a belief system concerning God."
That you can't prove.
In some instances, atheists are organized, right?
Yeah, they have like groups or like, I'm sure.
Yeah. Or like...
They got Facebook groups, I'm sure.
True. Plus, they also have... what's that church of the spaghetti...
Flying spaghetti monster?
The flying spaghetti monster.
Yeah.
Would that be considered a religion?
They
consider themselves a religion, right?
Yeah, legally. There was that case of the lady who petitioned her DMV to take her driver's license picture with the colander on it.
That's right.
Because she practices Pastafarianism.
Mm-hmm.
And it was religious headwear.
Uh-huh.
And she got to do it.
Uh-huh.
She was laughing all the way home.
Oh, no, absolutely.
Well, if you think about it, it's only crazy because it's different than what we're used to, right? Like, how does that mean? I mean, like, you could argue, right? Like, flying spaghetti monster versus like an unseen god. Like someone could argue, like, what's really the difference? You know, these are things that are.
That was their whole point.
It's like it's this fantastical thing you can't prove, you know?
Yep.
I mean, I don't really think it's the same thing, but I could see that argument.
But you don't think that believing in God is believing in a spaghetti monster?
Not specifically.
Hey, it's all about names, right? Semantics.
If we were created in the image of a spaghetti monster, we'd look a little differently.
we're cooler.
We've evolved.
Mm. That's true.
So Adam and Eve look very different.
Mm-hmm.
I think what would be interesting to establish is the role of proof in all of this. What standard of proof is sufficient to harbor a belief in a supernatural being or not?
Yeah.
And why are we so obsessed with proof? I mean, to quote Morpheus from The Matrix, if you what you're talking about.
Who is the source of all truth.
That's right. If you're talking about things that you can smell or see or touch or feel, then reality is just electrical signals interpreted by your brain.
Yes. Mm.
Right, so.
It could be manipulated, right?
If God came down and joined us for lunch, his physical presence... At some point, because of our understanding of physiology, we have to acknowledge that could be faked. It could be some illusion by some sufficiently advanced technology that causes our brain to sense something that was not physically present.
Or someone just slips some acid into your soda, you know?
Yeah.
So well, exactly.
So there could be like a usefulness of it, right? So if every time I drop a ball, it goes to the ground, then I can say... I can say, or at least my senses say it does that, right?
Yeah.
There's consistency. It always happens. And I can say, yeah, that's a useful piece of information.
So it's a
but
macro.
But if every time I...
It's a shortcut.
Yeah. So, if on the other hand, if every time I do something else, like, let's say it's prayer, you know, and every time I get a different result, then I can say, well, I don't know how useful that is. Because it doesn't help me. Because I can't predict anything. But with dropping something, I can predict what's going to happen next. So that's very useful.
Hmm.
So you're saying the scientific method of proof only applies to things that are useful?
No, I'm just saying how useful is it to have an idea?
A little more predictable.
What's the usefulness of an idea?
True.
Now, so you can think of the idea. So we have the notion of genes that are these... physical things that represent, you know, describe what our bodies look like and all that.
I think so.
So Richard Dawkins described this thing called memes, which is ideas, and some are reproduced very well, and some don't. So
cultural genes?
Yeah, in a sense. Mm-hmm. And that's where the whole idea of memes that now we say, oh, a meme is this little picture. Well, no. It's an idea that spreads. And one that doesn't spread, you can say, well, that's still a meme. It's just not a very successful one.
Mm.
It doesn't reproduce very well. But But anyway, where was it going with that was if you say, well, so if it needs to be, if it's useful for prediction, right, which is, you know, dropping a ball or prayer, you can say, well, prayer isn't useful for prediction, but it does make me feel better. So it's useful for making me feel better.
Mm, good right? point.
So that's the consistency there, right?
So like, then I have some consistency there because every time I pray, I always feel better. Even, you know, and so it becomes useful whether it's
which isn't always true. Right? That's not necessarily a true statement because I don't always feel better after I pray.
Right, but some people do. And so I say, so the idea of prayer is a meme that's gone through centuries, right? It's,
yes.
It's been there for centuries. It's not something and it's, that and it's people evolved, did, and then yeah. they said, oh, that's no fun, you know. You know, it's like the pet rock or something. You know? it's like, okay, that was fun for a little while, but, you know, it's not very useful. So it is a useful thing, but so what is it useful for? And you know, it does help people feel better. It helps, you know, if you do it together, you know, people kind of feel this synergy, participation together, group, you know, helps the group dynamics, makes people focus a little better together, you know, keeps people on the same page.
So whether it so actually, drugs, by the way.
Whether it is actual communication with a God or not, right? So it is a useful tool of sorts. And so I guess...
Whether or not you believe, like, that God's listening, there's value in the process or whatever.
Right. So whether or not God exists or not, right? Whether
there,
or not God
plenty
exists.
There are plenty of active religious people that do it just for the practical purposes of it.
Or there are plenty of non-religious people that do it under a different name.
Absolutely.
Mindfulness, yoga,
yep.
Meditation.
Yeah.
You know.
I mean, you could argue that Buddhists don't believe in God.
Yeah, but yet they do believe it. Theirs is the mindfulness type.
Yeah. Okay. So, atheist, is it a religion? So it's...
Was that the question?
That was so the original.
Is atheism a religion?
So how do... So we discussed a bunch of different ideas. How can they pull those together? So we say religion is...
I think...
Org is a system of beliefs.
As long as you don't include organization in in religion,
right.
Yeah,
I think absolutely atheism is a religion.
If your definition is like we said earlier, is like assuming that it doesn't have to be organized, uh-huh. like church or something.
Mm-hmm. Well, organized.
It's a system of beliefs and.
But you can talk about the Christian religion, which is, you can say, well, that's organized. Well, no, it's a whole bunch
it's
of different
very,
things.
It's not organized,
it's
right?
Very disorganized.
It's a very disorganized organization.
Yeah, so you don't have to say, like, not yeah. you don't have to, like, prove, like, you're part of the atheist religion because you see God not existing in this specific way. It's
yeah.
like, no, it's like you have this belief, right, that can't really be proven.
So
and you base things off of that, right?
Yeah. So if atheism is a religion... Let's take that one step further and say, why is our federal government supporting a religion?
By what? Not letting people pray in schools? Or
yeah.
what do you mean? Or taking
by
down
what?
Ten Commandments?
By not people letting, by not allowing prayer in schools, by not allowing any form of religious anything to be in a public government type of institution.
Because what we need school is a respite from the tyranny of religion. No, I'm just kidding.
I got to explore this for a minute because I've never understood the prayer schools thing. What stops anybody from praying in school that wants to?
The lion's den?
You can do it privately.
Yeah.
Sure, but you can't do it publicly.
Why is there a need?
Was someone
to
actually going
to
stop
I want to pray
someone?
Before I'm stuck on a math problem on a test and I want to say a prayer
uh-huh.
to have Heavenly Father help me.
Well, what, I think
what
the,
stops me from
I think
doing
the,
that? What, why would it be better if it was... What's the utility of
it? Very good point.
Yeah, I've never understood the issue. To me, it almost seems like the people who are advocating prayer in schools want some sort of like formally acknowledged, you know, very visible in the public
they
square
do.
Kind of...
They do.
That God exists and so on and so forth. But, I mean, if you're really only concerned with having some kind of connection with God, there's nothing to stop you from praying anywhere under any circumstance.
Yeah, so you have that. I think in relationship to the Constitution, though, I think all it really is saying is government is not going to dictate what your religious activities are.
Yes. And but the problem is,
so in school, they can't say, we are going to have a prayer. It's, hey, if the kids want to say a prayer, and that happens like in sports, right? The high school sports team might.
You can't do it anymore.
The team can pray, but the coach can't be with them because he's part of the organization or the government, right? But the team can go do it if they want, and you just see them over there in praying.
But my point is, though, that why can't if everybody on the team wants to pray, why can't the coach be part of that?
I think from the people's point of view, he is part of the government.
That's my point.
But then it'd be
the government is then at that point holding up atheism, sponsoring atheism.
I don't think if you don't pray before a game doesn't make you an atheist. You know what I mean?
But
I think
but the fact that you can't, it is outlawed basically.
But then I'd imagine
that holding up atheism.
In reality, there's a pressure that could be put on like these potential, like maybe they're of like not Christian belief or faith. They might be Muslim or they might be Jewish. They might be atheist. And if the coach is saying we're going to pray, there could be pressure put on all these students. You know what I mean?
Okay,
to participate versus like the students that, you know, we want, whoever wants to do it, let's go do it. And I guess the pressure could be on from the other students, like peer pressure, like, to participate, but at least it's not sponsored by like the government paid employee, you know what I mean? I don't know.
Well, so it would be, I think, so if you, I don't think there's a problem with that. I think it's the organization, the school or the government is deciding, hey, we need to make sure that this isn't condoning in a sense that we're saying, this is what we have to do. We're doing this because the government is saying to do it. So they say, therefore, we're going to make this rule that the coach can't participate.
Yes.
And it's not that it's bad. It's just you're drawing a line somewhere. It's like if you told your kids, hey, you can't eat in the living room, and you're in visiting with some friends in the living room, and they're standing there right on the edge of the carpet, you know, into the living room eating and dropping food over the edge. You can say, oh, okay, the line isn't there. The line is 1 foot back from the carpet.
So you can't drop it.
You can't go past this line. And maybe you can think of the coaches, you know, can't participate as, well, we're going to put the line here, so it's pretty clear that we're not part of this.
I guess
that there's no way that you can say the coach said, you know, you have to pray or whatever, even though, you know, the coach could actually have said that. You don't know.
It's never really, I mean, personally, I've never really been bothered by the concept of there not being some sanctioned prayer or something.
And see, and that's not the only thing that I'm talking about.
It's more symbolic to you, right, of like what that kind of means or what mm-hmm. that's saying. Because mm-hmm. who really wants to go and like all pray? It's like, it's not like, if we love prayer so much, then like, it's not like you were like, before we sat down to eat lunch, like, hey, we should all pray together.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? This is public. Mm-hmm. I've never really felt the need to pray in public. I don't go get fast food at the restaurant and pray, you know, especially out loud, you know what I mean? It's not like, who really wants to pray publicly?
I've been with people that do, though.
I'm sure there are same. People that yeah. are,
my
people
son
learn that, but I think most
they
people...
They pray every time they get in the car.
Most people that argue are you know, opposed to this idea of no prayer in schools. Most people that argue that probably don't,
what am I
wouldn't even pray in school in public, you know what I mean, if they had the chance.
It must be his wife.
You know? But I guess I see like what it represents.
It's a representation. Yeah. And prayer in school isn't the only thing. It's everything, you know. It's, I mean, the Ten Commandments, they're good rules, no matter what, right? But yeah, you can't display them in the public courthouse. Right?
In some states, anyway.
In some states, they do. They're arguably violating national law.
But I still don't feel
or like at some, at
I
some
need
point
some
you can
Ten Commandments
violating
at some public government.
Plus.
I don't need the Ten Commandments on some government property to then know,
about needing,
know what's though. Right. You know
it's
what
not,
I mean?
About, it's not about needing. It's about the fact that we have taken that portion of the Constitution and we've completely misinterpreted it.
Like kind of gone, erred on the other way, mm-hmm. in a way, rather than like forcing everyone, you're going to have this Ten Commandments on your lawn or like,
yeah,
you know, everywhere.
That would be different.
It's like, right? You're saying, no, we're not allowing that to even be, mm-hmm. like, huh.
Well, so it's probably could have been worded more like the gun one, right? The gun one says, the government shall not infringe the right to bear arms.
Mm-hmm.
You could have said the same thing about religion instead of saying, you know, separation of church and state, or whatever
say
they say.
Separation of church and state.
It doesn't.
It does say infringe. That the government shall not
infringe.
That shall not.
Right. Who's got it?
Yeah.
Establish.
So that is, yes.
But it's not about removing God from the public square.
Right.
At all.
It's if the people
want. The government
want
will not dictate to you what your religion is. It doesn't
right.
mean that you can't display Ten Commandments on it. And certainly, obviously, that wasn't the case. The founders prayed all the time and prayed in Congress and displayed religious symbols
yeah.
in that square. So
well,
obviously,
think,
their meaning is different than
yeah.
how we
can take it.
And I think the Constitution was specifically for the federal government, because I believe at the same time there were states who had
yeah Virginia did
religions
yeah
state
oh, really?
Like
had
state?
State-sponsored religion. Virginia
really?
Had state-sponsored religion. Huh. Yeah.
I didn't know that.
And some of the northern.
Instead of Anglicans or Virginlicans?
Yeah, but it was the federal government, and they were saying that can't go around doing that. The federal government can't go and say you can't have guns. No, your state government can if they want.
Mm. So like the federal government could
now
infringe,
we,
but then
we roll
the state
it up the other
could
way.
Say we're going to have our state religion, but the federal government had no say in that. That's kind of what you're saying. It doesn't actually say the word separation of church
no,
and state.
No, that's in
it. That's
just, I mean, that was a letter written.
So that's what everyone says, is
yeah.
if like
yeah.
that's just in there. That's funny.
Yeah, we think that's part of the founding documents. It's like, you know, the Pledge of Allegiance. That was
mm-hmm.
something that somebody wrote. Didn't even have anything about God in it originally.
It's out like the 40s.
50s, yeah.
1940s or something.
It's written by a socialist who said, you know, if you want people to do, you know, come together to be socialized, you know, in a socialism sense, you need to have this thing and honor the flag so everybody's got, the, you know, this.
Hmm.
And that was, you know, some of the idea behind it. And it drove flag sales, too.
it's like these holidays that are actually just created by corporations.
Yep.
Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion.
Yeah, and there's no law.
Or prohibiting the free exercise thereof.
So you could definitely say that, not letting people like, well, again, no one's saying people can't pray in schools. They're just saying there's not like, right? They're saying people.
They are
saying
that
students,
you cannot pray in school.
Like a student can't pray in school? They're saying that?
No, I think if you were to.
You cannot have a.
You couldn't have like a prayer circle with like the Christian club at school.
Could you have a moment of silence first?
Well, so could you do this?
You can have
or
a moment of silence.
To
and that's it.
Do whatever they want.
But you're saying that like if the kids gathered to pray, like in the quad at in high school, that they're supposed to stop them? I mean, they might.
I don't think so.
So
I don't think that.
Well, how about this? What if
I think that's fun
in your English class? You have to do it. You have to do some kind of maybe it's a speech class. You have to get up and talk.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and so you got to do your little report, and at the beginning of your report, you open it with prayer.
Like in front of the class.
Here's your report. Say, you know, here's a prayer. I hope, you know, God help these people understand the things I'm trying to say,
mm-hmm.
you know, and then launch into your report. Right.
Depends on the teacher whether you think.
But what the teacher going to do? Will the teacher actually do anything? Or they just say, hey, I'm going to mark you down.
Some right. mark.
Well, the real question
some
is, what is the teacher supposed to do? Like, what is the...
Yeah. Well, in that
the
case...
I heard about one guy. This was... So I was in high school when this whole thing was blowing up, the prayer in school thing.
Mm-hmm.
And I heard about one kid who... He was like a valedictorian or something like that.
Can't
he
pray.
Was, he was
can't
asked,
pray in front of a valedictorian. Cannot pray.
Yeah. So he was asked to speak at graduation, right?
Mm-hmm.
And he goes and he gets up and he goes, now we're not supposed to pray in school or in this graduation ceremony, but if we did, it would sound something like this.
and he just
said a prayer.
That's pretty funny. Well, I think that's great. You
so
know
they're
I mean?
Stopped
like,
from praying as a valedictorian in a speech. So that in the classroom, depending on the teacher,
yeah,
where you live, they would stop you, and they would probably be backed up by the school district.
Yep.
Like they wouldn't. Yeah.
So
not interesting.
So
and interestingly enough, the only reason, well, not the only reason, but a main reason why they enforce that, why schools enforce that, is because they don't want to deal with lawsuits.
The
just because that's an expense.
It's easier for them to do to take the approach of saying, we're going to draw a line.
No restricting more than
that. Because that will keep us from having a problem. So when I was growing up in high school, that's what we had prayers at, like everything, which I thought was really stupid. Especially sports.
What about Christmas songs?
I don't care about songs. Songs were just kind of fun.
But that's what's been removed as well. So you draw this line and it never stays, right?
Right.
So you give up a little, okay, we won't pray in school. Now we can't sing Christmas songs. We can't even call it Christmas. We put up Christmas trees.
Right.
And so the line just keeps moving. At some point, you have to say, this is ridiculous.
They can't put up Christmas trees in the school?
Uh-uh. You're not supposed to.
That's ridiculous.
Because it's a Christian holiday.
Yeah, it's a Christian holiday. So the school is seen
so
as
you're
endorsing.
Right. Like, it's not just you can't pray.
That's my point.
No, that's the point of it all.
Yeah. There's that we have moved this line from... The Constitution says that the government will not tell you what your religion has to be. We've moved that all the way to...
There can't be
now
any
you can't
semblance.
Have a religion.
There can't be any semblance
in
of
public,
God
in pub, religion. In any public forum, you cannot mention religion.
So if I go to my courthouse in my town or whatever at Christmas time, there won't be Christmas decorations? There won't
if
be...
the ACLU had anything to say about it, so they would come and force them to stop. Yeah.
So like there might be like some... community, I probably even here in Utah, I live in a small town, right? They probably do have Christmas trees.
Yeah, and they probably pray at their at their
actually,
city council meetings.
I did
meetings.
Go to a city council and started with the prayer.
At our school, we have a Christmas program at Timberline where they sing Christian songs.
Yeah.
The ACLU decided, I'm sure our school district would cave in and would force the school to stop doing this.
Mm-hmm. What does that stand for, ACLU?
American Civil Liberties Union.
Against Christ.
I actually think the ACLU does some good things, but I think they're overzealous, just like in a lot of situations.
Who all here went to BYU?
I didn't.
Did you ever pray? Did you ever have prayers in any of your classes? I don't remember any.
Did they start with
except for in the religion classes.
Yeah, just religion classes.
Well, we already go to BYU basketball game.
It was like, they always start I went from high school, which where we did pray, like not in every class, but every assembly and every game, and all these things. And which, if I'm going to add to the prayer in games, I also don't think you should do the flag in the game because that's kind of stupid too.
Well, I know that when I went to like a city council thing.
Pray at BYU every class.
No,
I don't know.
Well, they didn't.
They don't need it. They
for do the religion classes.
Yeah, the religion classes
are the same now.
But that makes sense.
I don't know that makes sense.
I thought it was
a
every
set
class.
Procedure, no. But I never had a prayer in chemistry class or anything else like that.
Yeah, it would be just weird.
In fact, I don't remember any teacher but a religion teacher. Of course, I took engineering classes. Talk about religion.
I think they do more now. At least I've heard Sadie, when she graduated, there were a lot of her classes that would integrate. Kind of go through and show how does biology and religion relate? How does and kind of anyway they kind of marry the two a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
So at least that was her experience. A lot of the public classes were.
Yeah, I just felt like there was less religion at BYU than I was at
high school. Interesting. Well. That was a good conversation.
So is atheism in a religion?
Yes.
Yes. As far as I'm concerned, yes.
To be an atheist...
So is believing in science.
But to be an atheist, is that...
Because religion, in my opinion, is specific about a belief in God.
One way or the other.
One way or the other, and the afterlife, one way or the other. And you don't necessarily have
to... The afterlife, does that matter?
Because it's...
Well, your definition is not my definition.
Absolutely. But some form of afterlife. So we talked a little bit about it before you came in. Like Buddhists, there's a Buddhists don't believe in God,
so that's not
but they believe in an afterlife.
Oh, you have to have both.
No, you have to have one.
You have to. So
in my opinion.
So what is God then?
That's a whole nother.
No, I'm just
podcast.
Saying in your.
So
is God a belief in some eternal?
truth. It's some type of supreme being.
Supreme laws.
Sure. I mean, yeah, you could morph it into something like that. It's some type of supreme being or set of beings.
Being? Physical? Non-physical?
Not necessarily.
So
not necessarily physical.
Right? But it's,
so you're saying, for some people, science is their God.
Is their God.
Like, literally, their God. Their...
All things come down to science. That is the truth. That is the source of all truth, is science.
That would be
for a non-scientist.
Scientologist.
A scientist doesn't think science is truth. They think
science is a
there
process.
Is truth out there, and
science is
trying to discover it. So you build a theory,
and the only way to discover it is through science. That's what a scientist.
Well, through empirical evidence. Yeah.
Through science.
Through evidence.
Using
truth
the scientific process.
Actually, through
process.
Evidence.
Yes.
Right? So if I...
Scientific evidence.
A scientific evidence would be...
Scientific evidence.
If I prayed for better health, and I got better health every time I prayed, that's... Science could say, yeah, prayer is part of the universe.
That's how they would prove it.
Yes.
That's how... So truth is revealed through scientific...
Through...
Means.
Methods, yeah.
Well, truth is revealed, but... But
truth
it has
in
to
me
be
is revealed through a God. That's all my answer.
Right. And
the truth
for science it has to be repeatable.
Well, yeah, whatever.
Right.
But that it's revealed through a scientific process.
Right.
Right. And so God is that same revealer to me of truth. God is a revealer of truth.
Right.
And that's what makes it a religion. Where do I
so
get
for
my
atheism,
source of
right.
So,
atheism is to say there is no God. Non-atheism or theism is to say there is a God, and then you have people who say, "Hey, I can't detect it, so that it's not a useful concept."
Yeah,
I cannot detect whether or not there is a God,
so
it's not
those,
useful.
And they're
that's
called
agnostic,
right?
Well, you could say agnostic. Yeah, but yeah, it's basically so that would probably you would say that's not a religion because it has nothing to do with it's like. Well, God isn't. God may be there, may not be there.
I don't believe there's sufficient data.
There's
one
not
way
enough
or the other.
Information for me to know. It's just like you know. There's, you know.
Sounds like
you don't
AI.
Have to believe that Russia's there,
data.
Right? Because I don't have enough information to know if Russia's really there. All I know that the news says it is. You know, I've never been there.
Earth shows
there. or being round, you know, like being flat. I have no evidence that says that. That I have observed that the Earth is round, so I'll just believe it's flat, and it seems to work out just great. It's a great theory. I've had no evidence that, you know, I can use the idea that the Earth is flat to do everything that I need to do. It predicts every outcome that I'm going to have, right?
No, I don't think that. I think it, in some small ways you can say that my beliefs don't drive my what I do and say and behave and act, but what else drives that if it's not your beliefs?
That drives it, right?
Yeah,
but what I mean is, what I'm saying is, if I'm going to believe for something to be...
So if you believe something false, it's going to have a detrimental effect on you.
So you think if I believe the world is flat, it's going to be detrimental.
Basis, but if you were to extend that, if you believed that when you jumped off a cliff, you weren't going to fall,
right.
That doesn't change the fact that when you jump off a cliff, you're going to fall.
Right.
What about if
but
you
may never
in...
jump off a cliff?
Right. So it doesn't hurt you.
But the potential is that you might actually jump off a cliff.
Right.
So that belief that wasn't going to get hurt when I jumped off a cliff, I just may jump off a cliff sometime. Right. It hasn't happened yet, but I may.
I have in my dreams.
Right.
Yeah.
Now you just live in
my
fear,
belief
though.
Drives me to do things. If it doesn't, what does
right.
drive you to do anything?
Well, so
why do I get up every day?
So there's.
I believe
so if you
in
think about religion, you know, from
surviving,
the idea of prophets and revealed truth, right? Things get revealed.
It's right there.
So we could find out some other time in the future that what we think is true about God is
it's
not true.
False. Right.
Like we find out, hey, there is no gender and he doesn't really have a body.
Yep.
Okay.
Oh. I thought you were saying that there's no gender, male, female.
So is that detrimental
binary,
to me now to believe that, that he does have a body?
I don't know.
Right?
So it may affect the way you live your life to think that he has a body right now.
Right.
But it may not have any terrible implications.
Right. And
but it does drive the way you live your life.
Well, yeah. Yeah, everything you believe does drive how you believe your life. But how you live your life. But I guess I'm saying is, for the things that you do in your life, you know, the farmer, if he's never going to leave town, it doesn't matter if the earth's flat around it, doesn't it? Doesn't matter how high high the mountains are, doesn't matter any of that. None of that matters to his daily life.
Yeah, if you contain him into this realm of
things
that matter is this handful of things.
GPS on his tractor, it'd be off just a little bit if it's flat.
True.
I never used a GPS when I was a kid. I was driving.
But the people he interacts with.
But his belief in that GPS working and trusting it.
And then they might go crazy because they think that.
Well, and that's how we are, right? You know, we have a 90% confidence in our belief in God. And you interact with people who have a 90% belief in theirs, which is completely different than yours. And you can interact just perfectly fine.
Yeah.
You know? But the beliefs are like this, you know? Completely different.
Yeah, but I mean, I do believe that, like, ultimately, if you believe something that's in reality not true, it's going to, like, affect other things, and whether
but it's not going to affect you until after you find out that it's not true.
Well,
right?
No, I mean, it could affect, like, your life, like, the other choices you make, and then you could end up with more negative repercussions or, I guess, results. And it's not necessarily going to be as dramatic as like walking off a cliff, but you know what I mean? Like every little thing. And like the more truth we find, the better decisions we make in general, and the better our lives will become. I don't think just believing God as a spaghetti monster is not going to like make me lose my job and everything goes to heck. You know what I mean? But you know, like the more truth we have though, that's real, that's actual truth, the better off we'll be. You know what I mean?
Yeah. So. The better life we live.
Right, but it may make no difference at all.
Yeah.
And for example, if whether I believe the world was round or flat, I still stayed in my town.
I guess it's...
It wouldn't matter.
It's I guess the potential for that
it
particular belief
anything.
To affect other beliefs.
Right.
Because, like, let's say this farmer, he believes the earth is flat. He never leaves this 10 square mile area, but he still trusts his GPS system, which is actually based on reality around Earth. But he has faith in that GPS, even though he doesn't realize it's connected to his belief in the Earth being flat. And so, like, he still functions the way he would if he believes it was round, because he's not really, not distrusting the GPS because of it, you know what I mean?
Right.
So I guess it depends on the potential for that belief to interact with other beliefs.
Yeah, true. Because you don't need to. My wife doesn't need to know anything about the insides of, you know, the electronics that we purchase. It's kind of fun to know it, and
for you
can go do some stuff with it if you want.
Yeah, but
I went and did electrical engineering, and you know, how many circuits have I designed since then? Never, none. Right? It's kind of fun to know them. Kind of fun to know that the world's round, and that you could go over there, and there's, you know, Russia over there, but.
So but no, the lack of knowing what's going on under the hood is different than believing something that's not true. She just is ignorant of what's going on under the hood.
Well,
but if she believes,
I haven't
push
asked
that
her,
button,
but,
I'm going to get a heart attack. I'm going to avoid that button on the remote.
Right, but
you know
she can
mean?
Say...
Like, that's not, you know, that's
there's a remote that causes a heart attack.
Yeah, I'm saying if she believed a particular button...
But if she believed that inside the circuits there was these little teeny tiny people running around, pushing things around and loading stuff and storing stuff...
Maybe there are.
It wouldn't matter.
Well,
I think it
would.
That's
true.
I think
she
it
would.
Though,
why would it?
It would.
It would matter because she'd have a distorted view of reality,
exactly,
which would then affect the way she thinks about other things.
Then
but
she'll
how
never,
much would
then
it?
Then she wouldn't. She wouldn't.
I don't know. It might
very,
be
very
minuscule,
small.
But it's
right.
still affects
she wouldn't
her,
throw
right?
anything
so
away.
Less than 2%.
It's true. She would never throw away a remote.
She's like that.
There are little people in there.
She think people who recycle things are murderers.
Well, maybe she thinks
that's true. Maybe she would throw away remotes.
Then you know. Oh, I got worried about
these little bugs.
Yeah, so they might not be.
I don't want them around.
They may be bugs. Right?
Yeah, so it
like
would
crickets.
Affect you in a way. It might
but
be
it
so minuscule.
But how is it going to affect?
Nothing.
I don't think it affects you in a significant way.
Okay, significant. There you go.
Yeah, qualifier. I guess there's varying degrees of significance, right?
Like your life may be zero difference, or
yeah, I know very little about what happens outside of this Earth world, you know, mm-hmm. And I think it has no effect on me.
I do,
as far as I know.
I've read lots of books,
but lots maybe it does have books. An effect on me.
If you would have known,
if I would have thought that we were being held up by a man, maybe I would act.
It's a turtle.
You wouldn't jump as often because you don't want to put any more pressure on your shoulders. You know.
Less weight. Yeah.
But anyways, that's 40 minutes.
40. That's probably really good. That's plenty long.
All right. Till next
time. Bye, guys. Till next time.